Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Come join us on this trip. No, more like journey. We're throwing out the script. We don't charge a penny. We can't call in. Time to start free balling.
That's what she said.
How did you fuck your hand up, though?
I have eczema, bro.
Oh,
and it's Christmas, and for writers, like, you know, we can write our own shit and sort of convince ourselves we're still working, but we literally don't get work till late January next year. Whereas all the camera people and the other people doing things in film, they can keep going until like all of next week. And I'm just sat here watching them on my Instagram going, oh yeah, good for you. Yeah. Woo. I'm like,
same.
Shit. I'm out here trying, man. And when I get anxious and I start living in my head where all the dark things live, that's when I'm like,
yep. Same. All right. No, I understand.
Yeah.
Fuck me. Well, on that note, welcome to freeballing, everybody.
Yeah, welcome to freeballing. When I sleep, I freeball, by the way. Just let it all hang out.
Oh. Yeah, no, it's too cold.
It's too... Bro, I sleep with a fucking fan on.
You know what's... I don't know, man. I've tried doing that once or twice.
Yeah.
And it's just not comfortable for me.
This is not comfortable
for you? Like I'll fall asleep for a little while, then I'll wake up and I'm like, nah, man, I need shorts or something. I can't do this shit. They're too free right now.
I know. I said I sleep with a fan on. It's not to keep me cold. Sometimes when it's too cold, I'll just point the fan away. My little ADHD riddled ass, I'm out here saying I need this shit for white noise. The noise helps me go to sleep. But then. If there's anything that's not the noise of a fan, I'm like, yo, shut the fuck up. Like, in summer, when I've got, like, two fans pointed at me, like, I need one on, my Jimmy John's, and I need one on my face. I've got one pointed at such an angle that I've got this, like, you've been in my bedroom. How has Sebastian been in my bedroom? You'll never know. You'll never know. You're on the front of the smell, you bitch. No, like I've got this little Joker poster. It like it sort of bangs against the wall because it's like it's just loosely hanging.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, all it is a little. My mic is picking this up, by the way. I can tell. It's so annoying. I will wake up from the deepest sleep, just yeet this fucker into non-existence. I don't, because it's fragile. I just take it off and I put it down on the floor. That's how, like, beyond fan noise and AC noise, like, when I'm in America, I'll just use the AC. Beyond that kind of shit, nah. like you can open my door and I'll know. I'll be like, yo, what up? Who's in here? It's worse when I'm alone, man, because like all the sound is like echoed and shit. I'll be playing games with my headphones. I'll think I'll hear something downstairs. I'm like, hang on, boys, gotta pause. Yeet the headphones off. I'll stand at the top of the banister and just be like, yo, if you're in here, just know I'm a beat your ass, butt ass naked. Like, and now my friends know that sometimes I'm playing games butt ass naked.
Billy?
Billy, is that you, Billy? Fuck Billy, Billy's dead.
Nah, I was, oh, fuck, what the fuck was I going to say? I'm totally thrown now.
Sorry. You're thinking about my junk?
Oh, no. I was, so like, I usually, I can't sleep when it's quiet. It's so unnerving for me. Mm. So I've gotten into the habit of sleeping to, like, listening to, like, wrestling podcasts and stuff like that.
I know. I've heard them. I used to live with you.
And, like, and again, the thing is, though, it's like, it has to be a wrestling podcast or I can't sleep.
No.
I can't listen to it because I've tried it. I was like, you know, because there was a day when there just wasn't anything new out. And I was like, all right, fuck it. I'll listen to something else. And nope, couldn't do it. I get so engaged with the other shit that I can't sleep. No. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Sometimes I've listened to ASMR. Sometimes that's helped.
No, that shit makes me uncomfortable.
It has to be like the right ASMR though. Like, there's some disturbing shit out there that's like, no,
it's all disturbing.
It's all disturbing to you.
It's all disturbing to me.
You don't
can't
like it
do
when
it.
Someone's close to the mic and whispering to you, Sebastian.
I don't. I really don't. I do not. It's one of those things where it's like if it doesn't make sense in my head, it just doesn't. It just bothers the shit out of me. It's like, why are you making a living talking like this? That's fucking weird, man. Like, I don't get it. I don't fucking get it.
You see, Sebastian, that wasn't ASMR. That was a low voice ASMR. You need to, like, sort of bring it down from the back of your throat a little bit. Need to be calm. Need to be gentle. That's the whole point of ASMR.
Nah, I'm good.
We should do a whole episode, like, whispered.
Oh, Jesus
Christ. We'll just title it, this episode will help you sleep.
It literally, that wouldn't bother me, except for the fact that I would have to edit it and hear it, and it would...
It'd just go right through you.
It's just like, oh,
I mean, I could edit an episode
that.
For once. Ed, pick up the slack, man. You let the team down. You out here telling me when we're going to record, what we're going to record. I'm out here thinking, we got to do all that shit. Then I got to edit it. Then I got to upload it. You just out here talking, motherfucker.
You just talent.
You just the voice. None of us are the face. We got the face for a Spotify podcast. Ugly as fuck.
I just thinking about his joke from the James Franco roast and Nick Kroll's talking about Seth Rogen. And it's like, you've got a writing and directing partner, Evan Goldberg. What the fuck does this guy look like that you're the face of the operation?
I remember when you sent me that. It's funny how, like, the lasting memory of the James Franco roast was a Nick Kroll about Evan Goldberg. That goes to show how, like, no one wanted to be around James Franco.
I mean, it's crazy, because just before we get into everything that we're talking about, like, that roast was good until James Franco started talking.
That's like most things James Franco's in. Like, now that we come to think about it.
Yeah.
Even his character in Pineapple Express. Why am I sat here cleaning a penknife, bro? This is a one-way trip to A&E before Christmas that no one wants. But there's like little pieces of sellotape on it. And of course, my ADHD kicks in and thinks, if someone's going to use this and it's not going to cut properly, so I'm going to help them. I'm still doing it. is even his character in Pineapple Express, it's just annoying.
Yeah.
Like, dude, just sell me weed and fuck off. Like, mm-hmm. Like, it's not that hard. I don't need friends.
Right. So just before we get into like the nitty gritty, we want to talk about the Golden Globes a little bit because the nominations were announced.
Can we just say a quick rest in peace to Andre Brower?
Exactly what we're gonna do.
Fucking love that guy. He was everything that man touched was gold.
He was absolutely one of the most talented people on the planet, and he was incredibly funny on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He did a lot of amazing work on the show Homicide.
Homicide, Life on the Streets, Jesus Christ.
And he was 61. He's way too young.
My dad is so close to that age, I'm like, yo, bro.
Yeah, no,
don't get me thinking.
Yeah, no, my dad just turned 62 this year, so it's just like, fuck me, man.
Yeah, there's a little bit of perspective in there.
Yeah, he apparently it was lung cancer that did it.
Yeah, my mum was saying that he probably knew about that filming the final episodes of
Brooklyn. Yeah,
that's horrible, man.
Fuck. Yeah, man. So you know, our thoughts and our prayers, our condolences out to his family, and you know it's a difficult time, especially around this time of the year, man. It's always so hard to lose people around, you know, the holidays and stuff, because then you just forever linked with that. So it's especially I'm speaking from experience, so it's hard.
Yeah,
and I really feel for them. So you know, again,
my condolences to your family around this time of year. It was this time last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was rough earlier this week. It was my grandma's birthday, so that was a rough one. And then you know, the 1 year is coming up, so we're like mentally, emotionally preparing for that. And you know, so it's gonna be rough. The holidays are going to be rough, you know, moving forward. So
surround yourself with loved ones, man. That's like, you know, you got your brother, you got your sister. I don't want to reveal too much about you and your family, but you got he's got more than two, or does he? Little does he know, this summer Sebastian's going to find out. His family's a whole lot bigger, and he's already Mexican, so he's fucked. So I had to find a way to put a smile on your face, bro.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Yeah, man. But yeah.
Right.
You know my family loves your family.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. Right, Golden Globes.
Bro, let's get into Golden Globes.
Did I do research? Do I even know what's nominated? No. All I know is that Super Mario hasn't been nominated for Best Animation.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. Holy shit. Something wasn't nominated for Best Animation that should have been.
Well, so I've got the nominees and stuff up open over here. So
Animated Feature.
So it's The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Wish, Super Mario Brothers, Suzume, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
It feels like everything.
Yeah, I mean, Disney's on here with two of them that I don't think are going to win. I honestly think this is a contest, Super Mario versus Spider-Man, which is hilarious to me.
You know, I've seen both of those movies. You know, there's a good chance either of them could win, but Spider-Man pushed boundaries. The Boy and the Heron pushed boundaries. There was a Netflix animation. I saw someone talk about these. There's a Netflix animation that hasn't been nominated. I can't remember the name of it though. I apologize.
I mean, my pick, I'm definitely going for Spider-Man. I like Super Mario Brothers. I enjoyed it. I definitely think Spider-Man was the better movie though.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. We're probably going to hear a lot more about that next week.
Yeah.
Right. Which ones did you want to talk about before I jumped in?
Well, I figure we'll just talk about the big
The big ones.
You know, we talked about animation. We talked, maybe we'll talk drama, comedy.
You know, I love the big ones, bro.
Yes, sir.
Shit.
Yes, sir. So, all right. So up next, we got drama motion picture. And the nominees were Zone of Interest, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Anatomy of a Fall, Maestro, and Killers of the Flower Moon.
So thank you for everyone for participating, but Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Yep. I've heard of the other ones.
I wanted to see Autonomy of a Fall, but it came out for like a day over here and then disappeared. Which is why if The Holdovers comes out that you currently have in cinemas, if that ever comes out over here, I don't care what I'm doing, who's around, I want to go see that shit. Has amazing reviews.
Yeah.
I need to start doing that more. Because like I was relying on other people to go see Autonomy of a Fall with me. I did know. I have heard it's good. Some people have it in their top three this year. Annoyed. Wow. I didn't see it. Past Lives. We got adverts for it. But again, never came out over here. At this point, Cineworld, stop teasing me. Stop getting my little ball sack and just like... And then not doing anything about it.
Fucking A. Yeah, no, I'm definitely for Oppenheimer on this one. Like, it's thus far, it's the only one that I've seen, and I told you, man, I was
Maestro
affected
even,
by that movie.
Has Maestro even been released yet?
No.
But this is some cockamamie bullshit.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
That's fucking wrong. Yeah, I think everyone was affected by Oppenheimer. Like, creatives were. Directors, writers were, even even audiences, like, the movie was just powerful.
Yep. Right. So, next we got musical or comedy motion picture, and then the nominees are The Holdovers, American Fiction, May December, Barbie, Poor Things, and Air.
When you said American Fiction, May, December, I was like, that's a weird release date, bro. I was like, oh no, that's actually one of the nominations. Again, is that even out yet? I don't see that on my Netflix.
May, what, December?
What Netflix does the Golden Globes have that I don't?
I'm pretty sure May, December is out already. I saw it on my Netflix the other day.
Oh, okay. So basically my Netflix is so focused on giving me currently anime, because I watched Cyberpunk Edgerunners and the Blue Eye Samurai, documentaries, and then like party related shit, and I guess May, December's none of those things.
No. Okay, cool. The story so from what I've seen, it's about an actress who's played by Natalie Portman, who's researching this teacher who had an inappropriate relationship with a student of hers.
Ew.
You know, she's gonna play that teacher, so she wanted to research, and turns out that this teacher has like full on married to the student that she had that affair with. Damn. Like, they have a life and everything. So she's like researching them and getting to know them, and just a bunch
that's
of other stuff.
That's what I wanted David Duchovny to do in Californication that one season, because that student was fine.
Yeah,
that was okay in Californication? Yeah, like, this isn't David Duchovny. That 12-year-old man. Like, nah, it's not that. It's not weird.
And like, so, okay. So here's what bothers me about this movie. And also,
you watched May, December?
No, it's from what I've seen. Again, I haven't seen the movie, so this is just, you know, the book of the cover or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, it doesn't feel like a comedy.
No, from what you've said, that doesn't, like, either it's a musical and it's been nominated, but it definitely doesn't feel like a comedy. Has Wonka not come out like close enough to be nominated? I feel like that should be.
The movie itself isn't nominated, but I know Timothy Chalamet is nominated. In terms of, you know, for acting.
Wow. Hang on. I need to go left to right with this one, bitch. Wow. So basically, this is Best Picture comedy. musical if there's nothing else left to be nominated.
Yeah, but it kind of goes back to something that you and I were talking about the other day. Well, I was kind of bitching about to you, where it's like these things that call themselves comedies when they're really fucking not. And I feel like this is the reason, because they know they're not good enough to get into the drama. But if we call ourselves a comedy, we can slide right into that.
I know where you're going with this. Is funny, but not a comedy.
No. No.
Barbie, like, I'd rather just see Air, maybe, I don't know, take over Zone of Interest or Maestro in Best Motion Picture Drama. Mm-hmm. It's got no chance of winning either. I'm glad it's been nominated, because it's one of those movies that I think not enough people saw. Me and my dad would, it's that time of year where I'm meeting with the boys, even me and my dad are going out having a couple of drinks, and we're talking like, what have you seen? What do you like? Because I've got like this, you know, if you've been with me, you know I have this kind of like letterboxed list of everything I've watched this year. And yeah. I've singled out things that have like, I've IMAXed or even been to the cinema for. And Air was one, like, Air had like the majestic opportunity of being something else, or twice. That doesn't really happen anymore. I just thought it was so good. And I was like, look, Dad, I don't know when you're going to see this. And then I realized, oh, actually, it's Amazon, so when it's finished, it's going to go straight to Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. But I'd prefer you to see this in the cinema. It's really good, but, like, I laughed at some bits. Like, but comedy? Nah.
Yeah. So, all right, so what I want to talk about is one of the newer categories this year, and so it's cinematic and box office achievement. Now, these are the movies that, without this category, I don't think would ever even be considered for a Golden Globe, aside from like maybe effects or something. And even then, it's a stretch. But the nominees for this one are John Wick Chapter 4, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Super Mario Bros., Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
No.
And Taylor Swift seen, the Eras Tour.
It's between that and fucking Barbie, bro.
It's so... Why is that being nominated?
Which movie? Taylor Swift?
It is.
It's like, it's one of those living documentary movies.
It's not just a concert?
It's not just a concert. It's like you see her going in and out of like planning, and like I know someone that went to one of these, and like you, like the one in LA, you had a day where you watched the rehearsal and then you got the actual concert a day later, kind of thing. It was like a two day thing. You could get tickets good kind of shit, because if you were so close where the camera could see you, they have to make sure it's like, hey, you know, you bought this ticket, but we're gonna move you over here. Like, you're an uggo, so here you go. Here's some money back.
Jesus.
And a letter from Tay Tay saying, "Bun you, man." Like, yeah, like it was like it's a whole thing. Yes, it's not just like sit down, watch a concert. Like we call them live events. Like, because you can even see, you can even see theater in Cineworld. Like, if something's been sold out, but like, you know, it's in the Royal Opera House in London, it they have the ability to like sort of stream and televise, and it'll go out to like Cineworlds across the country, kind of thing. I did it for Macbeth, and then a Pink Floyd concert, which is pretty cool. I know for a fact that this is like there's actual like day in the life with Tay Tay kind of shit. You know, if you're a fan, you call it Tay Tay.
I mean, I guess. I mean, still, I'm.
No,
I guess I can't give it too much.
I'm still no. Like, honest, like, Barbie's probably gonna win, but Taylor Swift is Person of the Year. It kept your country out of recession with just paying hundreds and thousands of people per state with a singular tour. That's never been done. Will never be done.
Yeah.
This is sort of like a... We wish we could give you an award for that, but we can't, so here, have this. But I like Spider-Man, it was a borderline flop. Mission Impossible, flop. John Wick Chapter 4, it was good, but you forget about it, T-minus 5 minutes. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, more people watched this on Disney Plus than went to the cinemas.
Yeah.
Oppenheimer was good, but again, is
it, I mean, if this is
cinematic achievement, yeah. Like,
Box office?
A lot of these are box office failures. Some of them are cinematic achievements.
It definitely feels like this is Barbie's category.
This is Barbarina.
Yeah.
That, then, are they going to get musical and comedy as well?
I don't know. Right now, Barbie, from what I can tell, has 7 nominations throughout the whole thing. More than fucking Oppenheimer.
I know. We were talking about it just before we came on that I want to, like, what did we talk about when I came on? Or when we were talking? The holdovers. I want to see the holdovers. Like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I hear only good things.
Yeah, it's the one with Paul Giamatti, right?
Yeah. I love that guy.
Yeah. I every time I see the trailer, I laugh my ass off. This dude running away, he leaps off this thing and he like hurts himself. He starts screaming, and for some reason, I just laugh, dude, because he's being such a dick. He gets what he deserves.
I thought you were going to talk about him and that, like, the potential rhino we almost got that he played. That was a thing. Yeah.
Right.
I feel like the winner of this is just going to annoy me.
Mm-hmm.
The cinematic box office achievement. I'm glad that it's here. I feel like the Oscars should do something similar, because whatever they pick for Best Picture, like what won a couple of years ago during the COVID Oscars, where they were in a train station, Nomads.
Yeah.
Jesus fuck! Who even watched that?
No idea.
Aye. And of course, you know, Frances McDormand had to get her 2 cents in like she usually does. Yawn.
Yep.
Right, quit Safari. Turn the Wi-Fi off because I don't need interference. All right,
everybody. So
we have to get back to where we were last week.
Yes, sir. So those were the Golden Globes that we wanted to talk about for now. If you want more, look them up. They're online. They're everywhere. They're fucking all over the place. The Golden Globes are going to be airing on January 7th.
For you guys,
next year, I think.
We don't get them.
For you don't get them at all?
We get the... So we have... E that was overtaken by FX over here in terms of streaming,
mm-hmm.
and we get E from the live carpet. As soon as that's finished, get fucked.
That's so fucked.
Where's it on? NBC, CBS?
I want to say CBS.
CBS.
I think it's CBS.
There's a chance we may get it after the fact on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
Like a highlight from the Golden Globes, but nowhere is going to do it live. Nah.
That's, oh man, that sucks.
Yeah.
All right, so we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to jump back into the universe of American Pie. This time we're talking about the spin-offs.
Oh my God.
So stick around. We'll be right back.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, so American Pie, we got into pretty good detail about, you know, the main series.
Indeed.
Last week, and now we're talking the spinoffs, which I want to, before we get into that, I just want to talk about your experience with the fact that they even fucking exist.
Yeah. There's probably some listeners that are like, spinoffs, plural, there's more than one.
Mm-hmm.
There's five of these fuckers. But you can, yep. You, like, we're, you know, we're talking about four. The fifth one is where our message about the future of American Pie is going to be. We'll save that one to last.
Yeah.
Let's rank the four that we know, that people may know of, mm-hmm. and then we'll leave, like, yeah. the dead last till last, because that's where the message of the future of American Pie is
going
to be.
So one to five.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So one of the... All right, so one of the things I want to talk about before we get into that, though, is, like, the idea of straight-to-DVD.
Yeah.
Like, because every time I think of straight-to-DVD, now, you are forever associated with that. When, you know, talking about, you know, the Disney straight-to-DVDs and watching your fucking mind melt at the fact that these movies even exist.
I thought it was just a Family Guy clip. Jafar made me glasses. I thought, oh, look at these, like, Lion King movies they're making fun of. Nope. They all exist.
But you know what's crazy? Like, specifically for these movies, they took advantage of the fact that they weren't going to be getting a theatrical release and just went balls to the wall. Because, like, you know, you think American Pie, you think sex, you think nudity, mm-hmm. but if you watch all the main movies, it's one of the things that we didn't really talk about last week that was like, it just kind of hit me today. There's really only one, like, big nude scene in each movie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in the first one, you got Nadia and the camera, the webcam. In the second one, you got those two chicks who were messing with the guys.
Yep.
In the third one, you got the bachelor party.
Yes.
And in the fourth one, you've got Jim trying to get his neighbor back into her house and she's topless.
That's a good scene.
it's really funny, but, like, when we talk about these spinoffs, they cranked everything up as we'll get into.
Everything was like the sort of less story, more extreme, mm-hmm. more extreme.
Yeah. Yep.
But that's because of the audience they were going for. There's two different audiences for the DVD generation. There was the Disney mm-hmm. family audience, and then there was what Matt Damon calls the saviors of cinema to a certain extent, because
mm-hmm.
if you were a good movie and word of mouth connected, you went from college to college to high school, to high school, to college, major, and then by that time, almost in a kind of Facebook kind of way, you made your way internationally, so you made it to our universities, mm-hmm. our, like, secondary schools and shit, movies were passed around, you know, you went to the bargain bucket, you know, you went to HMV, you got the, like, I'm pretty sure they did this deal for, like, 3 for $20, mm-hmm. and I was like... You know, to quote Jesse Plemons from Game Night, how is that profitable for Frito-Lay? Like, that's why HMV went down. The one for free for 20, the free mm-hmm. for 20 was never profitable. Never was, never will. And yeah. even now, it's like, it's 2 for $25. And I was like, I call myself he, not him, because I will never be him. Like, and I think, you know, American Pie is like, the spin-offs are a testament to mm-hmm. the power of word of mouth through the just what is now the toxic party culture in America that, you know,
yeah,
is on that has been on a decline. And if you think it is, you're blind. There are so many universities.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, yeah, our university is different. No, it's not. our university has all these regulations. No, they don't. We used to do things over here. Now we'll do them over here.
Yep.
We used to do things on campus. Now we'll do them off campus.
You're in college. You want a party. That's it. That shit goes hand in hand. You know, and these movies really, it takes that shit to a whole other level. And so, you know, let's kick in.
That's what you did before the party. I don't know about you, but before the party, you got a couple. You got a raunchy movie out. You had a couple of beers. You got yourself going.
Yeah, and we're doing this backwards. So we're starting with our number one is American Pie Presents. Beta House. So this one and the next movie we're going to talk about are the only two movies in the spin-off series that actually are connected.
Uh-huh.
And you know, the direct sequel and, you know, that thing together.
So if you consider the one before it, Naked Mile, as American Pie 1, American Pie Beta House being number 2 again, the sequel is better than the original.
Yep, it is. And I will say, Beta House for me was just the better one, because there was just like, I don't know, there's so much more over the top shit in Beta House. I felt like there was more of a story, and it felt like, it didn't feel like your traditional American Pie movie.
No.
Where it's like, it's about a guy or a friend's trying to lose their virginity and this and that. This felt a little more like, okay, like, we've done that. Let's do something different. Like, this, the whole focus of Beta House is a rivalry between these two fraternities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're sick to death of each other. So they resolve to compete in what they call the Greek Olympiad.
Yeah.
And it's a series of games and challenges that get really, really increasingly fucked up.
Yeah. The Russian roulette, bro.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. But it's because of that. It's just a balls to the wall party, good time, friends getting together. It's like you said, you get a couple of friends together at the beginning, and you're just, it's good times, man. It's good, insane fucking times. And one of the things I will say that all of these movies have in common is each and every single movie has a Stifler.
Mm-hmm.
And Beta House and Naked Mile are the only ones with two Stiflers.
Yes.
You know, one being kind of the more closeted nerd, and the other one being more akin to Steve Stifler, you know, Sean William Scott's character in American Pie. He's not an asshole, though. He's not an asshole. He's a cool dude. He wants
it's a reinvention of the Stifler name, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got like the one they use in Bandcamp is just a complete cunt. But I think like the best thing for me about Beta House is sometimes I want to watch a movie that captures like the college experience, and like mm-hmm. I've seen Blue Mountain State so many times that like I can almost quote every episode. It's like a once every couple of years thing now for me. But like Beta House mm-hmm. is one of those movies, like it's so under the radar in terms of, you know, what movie I want to watch, that I stick this on. I'm just like, yes, it's extreme. But like, I'd say at least the first hour or so, and then towards the end, I think it's like the most accurate representation of the college experience. In terms of, why is Uber Eats telling me about tracking my order? Oh no, it's just telling me I can place an order. Fucking weirdos. I was like, hang on, who's ordered what? And it better be coming to me. But like, I know some people are like, well, I don't, what college do you go to? Like, I went to one that, you know, I got wasted all the time. Mm-hmm. In my first year of university, halfway through the year, they told us, oh, all you need to do is pass. And I'm like, I've been waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning to listen to some dumb bitch who failed in her own line of field to try and tell me what I need to do to be successful as a thespian actor? Bun you, man. The pub is right there. I didn't say any of that shit. I just like, but it was like, there was a collective agreement where all my friends just looked, yeah. We just looked at each other and we just went, I don't know. Peb? Like, can't accept tickets from someone we've officially reviewed, so jog on. Like, literally, where we worked, for the most part, was around the corner, 5 minute walk away from the nearest pub.
Mm-hmm.
If like there's so many times where you see like the reoccurring bar, the reoccurring pub in like a movie, like the Dog House for American Pie, the Goat House for Blue Mountain State. That was the old Pint Pot was my Goat House, my Dog House. Like until it reinvented itself, they actually had the yard of ale thing. You know, the thing that concaves. Has the curved bottom. It's like, it's a whole yard. You have to drink it as fast as possible. I held the motherfucking record on that son bitch. I saw someone do it and fail it. I was like, oh yeah, go on then. And then the very next day we were in there. Some freshman, because I have no idea how to call it. First year is what we call them. They were trying to impress their girl, like some girls downing a pint. They didn't do it. And I was like, we were outside smoking. And I was like, yep. Should I just go get a pint, knock on the window, and then down in front of him? He's like, Ed, why have you already said something? He's like, oh, okay, there's a dust cloud of where Ed was. I come back, not with one pint, but two. And I was like, you like them apples? Bosh, bosh. Can't do it anymore. If I try to down two pints now, that's my night, bro. I will spew. But I used to, like... You know that the one guy that's in these movies, Beta House and Naked Mile, the crazy mm-hmm. guy, the big guy that's now in Letterkenny.
Oh, yeah.
Me, basic animal. If people haven't seen Naked Mile and Beta House, but they have seen Animal House. Animal from me.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, I see it.
You've seen it, motherfucker.
I've seen it.
The amount of pictures I used to do in Fantasia. How am I alive? And then we went to Shots at Adios, motherfuckers. And then we went to Irish trash cans and B-dubs. How am I here? I ask you how.
I don't know, dude. I couldn't tell you.
Yes. Bait House is number one because I feel like the characters had a chance to step into the role a bit more, express mm-hmm. themselves a bit more. It was more than just... It's the only American Pie where, beyond American Pie 2, which is why this one is kind of like a spiritual companion. It's not just driven by sex.
Yeah.
I know that's the strongest American Pies are the ones, for me, that aren't just driven by sex.
Mm-hmm. Which brings us to... Naked Mile,
Naked
which is
true. We're even correct because IMDb for Beta House is 5.3 and Naked Mile is 5.1. So take that with a grain of salt.
And you know what's, it's crazy because like you, when I think about Naked Mile, the idea of it's about getting sex and stuff, but it's the story of
body confidence.
It's effectively, because like this guy, Eric Stifler, his last name is Stifler. So there's like
an expectation.
There's an expectation for him to be this insane fucking party guy who's getting laid on the regular and this and that. But he's just a normal, nice dude. He's got a girlfriend.
Who kills his grand? We're not going to tell you how, but if you see the movie, it's in the first 5 minutes.
But I think on top of, it's not, because, like you said, the best American Pie movies are the movies that aren't about sex. And yes, this guy wants to have sex, but I feel like it's more so this dude is just surrounded by this pressure to live up to his family name.
Yeah, 100%.
And I feel like I think that's more of what this movie's about. Like the pressure of living up to, the familial expectations. Because, like, his dad gets on his ass about still being a virgin, and, like, you know, his friends get on his ass about being a virgin and this and that. And the only person who seems to be okay with the fact that he's still a virgin, that he's taking his time, that he wants to do it because he's in love with someone, is his cousin, Dwight Stifler, the insane leader of Beta House. He's like, yeah, no, I think it's cool, man. Like, you know, we have a fucked up family, and it seems to be like you're the only normal one.
Yeah.
He's like, God damn. Yeah, he has a good moment
where he does kind of like, you know, he wants Eric to maintain the normal one. He wants him mm-hmm. to be a different Stifler. And I think this is another testament to how great college is in America. They don't play American football. They play rugby, right?
I think so.
When they get beaten by the dwarf house. We're not allowed to say that, and I don't want to say midgets. Just the Peter Dinklage fraternity. They win, man. So, like they get theirs. I don't know what to call them anymore. You can't call anyone anything without getting told off. We can only use our voices. We can't use memes or emojis right now to express something differently, or GIFs or some shit. We have to say it how it is. These motherfuckers lose. I think it is. No, it is rugby.
Yeah, I think.
And that is American colleges, especially mm-hmm. in the Midwest, where it was a chance to, like, sort of just get a little bit more from the world.
Yep.
And it was, you know, and like, this is the closest we came to college in American Pie since American Pie 2. And even then, in American Pie 2, it's 5 minutes.
It's just the beginning.
Like, I don't know who wrote or directed this one. I don't think John Hurwitz were involved right now for Naked Mile. If they were, then, I mean, these motherfuckers are just... After watching the first few episodes of Obliterated and seeing their names on it, I'm like, okay, they like doing Cobra Kai, but they miss this shit. And I wouldn't be surprised if, like, a future American Pie failure will make them come back mm-hmm. and do, like, a sort of re-reunion or just, like, their own reimagining. Because they've definitely mm-hmm. got that sort of... You know, they make what they like, man, and I love that about them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah. They're really like, starting to resonate with me as a creator, and I just think whoever made American Naked Mile, wrote, directed, produced, basically says, why have we never been in college before?
Mm-hmm.
This is where American Pie should live.
Yeah. Yeah, and I definitely think, like, what the idea of the Naked Mile is such a great story backdrop for an American Pie movie. Like, the idea of all these students after finals and stuff, just because there are schools that do this, you know, they're not necessarily naked, but like underwear runs, like, you know, everyone's running around in their underwear, like they do a mile around the school. And obviously this movie takes it up a notch with all the people being naked and shit. But like, this isn't an unheard of phenomenon around colleges and stuff, you know, and it's something that
weird shit.
And you, especially like after finals, because like you forget sometimes the amount of pressure that gets put on college students. Like if in the movie Accepted, like that's a big thing that they explore about, you know when this guy builds his own college.
Another DVD champion.
No, that movie got a theatrical release. It just did better on DVD.
That's what I mean about the DVD champion. Like, that's what Matt Damon mm-hmm. said. Like, that's what I need to find the interview. I need to send it to you. He mentions like a bit of the budget was put aside to make sure there was enough DVD merchandise because they knew that was like almost re-releasing the movie. You could release the trailers again. You could do billboards mm-hmm. again. You could tease it. Yep. You can then finally release it. And then you can do the DVD. Mm-hmm. And then by Christmas, you can do, oh, hey, here's the collector's edition, the unrated edition. I can't remember the last time I didn't see any American Pie that wasn't the unrated edition. But just going back to the and like Naked Mile and like sort of the almost real life aspect to it, we're mentioning the Naked Mile. I know you dirty motherfuckers out there just going, oh, that's what Will Ferrell does in Old School because of Naked Mile. We're going to run naked for the quad. We're streaking. We're going to go through the gymnasium, through the quad. Oh, hey, honey. Frank.
So from these, from Naked Mile and Beta House, we come into what I call the loose premise.
The niche. Because the niche, if so to speak.
No, well, because like, so here's the thing for me with Bandcamp and Book of Love. Their entire premise for both of these movies is based off of a line or two from fucking the original American Pie movies.
Yes.
Bandcamp, yeah. I mean, obviously.
It was the smart choice to like, go to, I think.
It is. It is. I will give you in terms of it, especially for it being the first of the spinoffs of the straight to DVDs. I definitely think it was definitely the right call. And one of the things we haven't mentioned up to this point is that the other big thing that connects a lot of these movies is Eugene Levy.
Yes.
Mr. Levinstein. Popping up and being, and again, still being the voice of reason and still being a helping hand. He's a very integral part in Beta House and Naked Mile. A little more so here more so in those movies than in Bandcamp. Yeah. I would say like he's just kind of there to like establish the fact that this is still within the American Pie universe. It focuses on Steve Stifler's younger brother, who we technically met in American Pie 2, right? And 1. The little kid.
Oh, is that that guy?
I think that's who this is supposed to be.
Okay. I mean, I hate it. The actor they chose.
Yeah, I don't, I'm not, good. I don't. He is very much a piece of shit.
Yeah, they definitely kind of maintained that, oh, you know, Stifler just fucks up. And then he'll have that moment of redemption later in the movie. And it just tried to sort of recreate just American Pie with the, like, you know, let's, what if American Pie focused wholly on a Stifler? And like, you know, in the mid 2000s, there was more of a chance of you getting expelled or like being told to go to summer camp to sort of like reconcile for everything you've done. And he goes up and he fucks it up, that kind of thing. It's kind of cool to suggest that, like, you know, being the younger brother to the mainstay Stifler, kind of like, you know, is going to have a knock on effect, and I think that's kind of where Naked Mile and Beta House for me coming good is like that kind of dies off, especially in Beta House when they're being driven by Shoot McGavin. And, like, he has with him at all times the list of, like, women he's fucked. And it's just like, you know, our main Stifler in those movies is almost polar opposite to the point where, you know, he might not, like, shoot us like, you even a Stifler? Like, what the fuck?
I know what's, with the, you brought up the list. My favorite part is when he gives the list to his son. He's looking at it, he's like, why are all these names after mom? He's like, oh, I'm just going to take that back.
Why is my mom on there? His mate sees the list.
But yeah, so, I mean, with Bandcamp, it's also, with Bandcamp, you get the first mention of, like, the Jim and Michelle's kid. Because it's the whole reason Mr. Levinstein is there, is because she's pregnant with. And so that kind of that carries on into the main one. So I feel like this is the only one in terms of like connection to the main film that really has a little more substantial connection.
Yeah.
But even then, it's like Matt Stifler's not a good character. And I'm not even talking about like, oh, in terms of what he does. I'm talking in just like the way he's written, the way he's performed. There's nothing, even when he's doing his redeeming shit, he's not really all that redeeming.
No.
You know, there's just nothing. I don't know. He's such an off-putting character.
This is the most noughties, like, mm-hmm. American Pie gets me with the whole, like, is this the one that I watched and I let you know that they possibly filmed in Envision 8 for like a couple of scenes? It was either this one or Book of Love, maybe. There's definitely one of the American Pie spin-offs that films in Envision 8 where, like, we filmed, and it's like, it's just weird. You know, it's sets. And I just think, you know, if you want a movie around about 2005 that isn't American Pie Bandcamp, Euro Trip. Pretty sure that's the same year.
Yeah. Yeah.
They tried to do the whole Revenge of the Nerds, but failed because Revenge of the Nerds is just goated.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on, maybe.
So from one thin premise, we come into another one.
Yeah, this is the thinnest. Well, beyond the other one we have to talk about, this is the thinnest of the fins.
Yeah, and this is like it's one of those blink and you'll miss it moments. Like this stems from the beginning of the first American Pie, where Kevin's older brother tells him about this book that's supposed to like have all these crazy sex secrets and stuff like that. And, you know, Kevin takes the book, he reads it, he learns about it. And it's ultimately what helps him get Vicky to orgasm for the first time.
Yeah.
So the premise of this movie is the book gets destroyed. These guys find the book and they're working with a bunch of other people from... This is very much a cameo of the greatest actors from some of the greatest sex comedy movies of all time coming together to put this book together.
I've completely forgotten this movie. That's why in my notes, I've even said, I don't remember this one well.
Yeah, I don't know why
that sounds like a great, that sounds like a great, like the potential for a great scene. That's like an Anchorman before Anchorman.
And it was, because there's an entire montage of like when they're putting the book together, calling all the like, the alumni that they and hold on, I want to try to pull up
the list,
the cast. Yeah, the list. So Eugene Levy,
yeah,
big one, Mr. Levinstein, which for me, honestly, which is crazy to me, is like, even though these movies don't really give him a lot to do, they add to the fucking lore of Mr. Levinstein. Yeah. And it's really fucking cool.
He's a freak.
he really fucking is. So you've got Curtis Armstrong
in this. Okay, so Revenge of the Nerds. And also Megatron from fucking Supernatural.
Sherman Helmsley, I mean, he's not, you know, an 80s sex movie icon or whatever, but he is comedic fucking royalty.
Okay.
And the fact that he agreed to do this, he plays the pastor in the church where when the guys are like, one of the guys is talking to his girlfriend about having sex, and they're like, there's a microphone in this confession booth, and they're like, everyone can hear them talking, and he talks about how his dad was like, his dad's a beta, and he fucked a bunch of people, and then her mom was a slut, and apparently at one point she needed to get her fucking stomach pumped after a one night with the football team.
Oh, shit.
So, okay, so I found some other ones. Dustin Diamond, he is Screech in Saved by the Bell.
Oh my god.
Thomas Howell.
Dustin Diamond, didn't he get done for, like, murder?
He definitely got
arrested, but like,
yeah, no, he definitely got arrested. I don't know what he got arrested for. He passed away not long ago.
Yeah, that was the one.
So we got to see Thomas Howell.
How do I know C. Thomas Howell?
The Outsiders. He was in E.T. He's also
E.T.
in Obliterated.
Oh, who's he in Obliterated?
He's Haggerty.
Who has one thumb and just saved Las Vegas? This guy.
So you got Christopher Knight. He was he played one of the kids from the Brady Bunch.
Oh God, this is some pretty big alumni.
Tim Matheson. He was the leader of Animal House.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fuck. He was the leader of the Deltas.
You got he's the bad guy in Fletch is how I remember him the most.
Okay, and then you got Robert Romanus. He's very, very vague, but he was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yes, I was going to say that's doesn't he play the chef?
No. He plays one of the main guys, one of the main like ticket taker things. He has sex with his friend's crush, and then he finishes way too fast.
Give me his name.
Robert Romanus.
Robert. Oh, please just. How do I spell that last name?
Romanus. Romanus.
Romanus. I was hearing Romanus. Okay. Yeah. He's the long-haired guy. Basically, the original inspiration for Steve Harrington in Strange Things.
Yep. And he's finally, all, he's Brett all Michaels.
Brett Michaels?
Fucking Brett Michaels.
Fucking Brett Michaels.
I mean, like, okay, so here's the thing with this movie. It was definitely trying to go back to the roots, you know, high school students trying to lose their virginity and stuff like that, but like, what it lacks, I think the biggest thing that it lacks is the heart that the original one had. Because like, this is an American Pie movie, so there is a Stifler. He's so fucking forgettable.
Yeah. I thought this was one of the movies that didn't have one. I know there's one in Girls' Rules, which we're going to go to next. But like, again, yeah. Forgettable.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing, because like we've talked about all the ones that we've talked about. Every Stifler up to this point has been memorable, has had impact, positive or good. But this motherfucker, if he wasn't in the movie, it would be the same fucking thing.
Yeah,
he literally adds nothing and takes nothing away from this fucking movie.
That's not the point of Stifler.
Nope.
You remember every American. Not at all. You remember every other American Pie, like you say, for good or worse. Because of a Stifler.
Yep. And like, what's her name? Jennifer Holland. She's in Peacemaker, and she's a
James
married
Gunn's
to fucking...
wife.
Yeah, she's in this.
Fucking hell! I don't want to watch The Book of Love again because I'd rather just watch fucking Naked Mile and Bait House back to back, but. I feel like I need to check out Book of Love again. I'm honestly running out of things to say beyond Same. The fact that it's forgettable. That's the problem. Like, had the spin-offs just been Naked Mile and Bait House, and maybe like a third to tie it off, trilogy for a trilogy kind of thing, trilogy of mainstays, trilogy of spin-offs. Maybe another, like before Naked Mile, another high school one. Because the Naked Mile, they're getting ready for graduation. They're in, like, they're in their final year, and then Bat House is they've graduated, and they're going into college. I don't know, maybe another college movie where that like they didn't have to rely on the like the older Stifler brother in these movies.
Yeah,
like had the other guy like you know maintained his status like. They're now the leader of the Betas, and you know, I mean, 2007 going into save another, like a Bait House sequel came out in 2009. You're kind of getting into like you know, emo phase was becoming a bit of a big thing. The YouTube kids, that's what kind of pushes you know, our older guys out kind of thing. Sort of getting into you know the new world. I noticed a bit of a shift in just the way people were around 2010, 2012 kind of thing. Went from like the whole new metal and being emo was okay to like sort of just being depressed without the clothes and the music. I call it the Mumford and Sons era. Everyone started wearing bomber jackets and shorts and long socks, and fucking Vans went from being skater shoes to these sort of flat fuckers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're shite. Unfortunately, we have to come to what is a movie that I kind of wish didn't existed. I want people to know that it's not because it's an American Pie completely run by girls. I'm just going to take this one for a little sec. Have you seen this one? Have you seen Girls Rules?
I have.
Okay. I'm pretty sure I told you to, just to, so we could both, you know, sort of connect in how I feel like you're the same as me. American Pie was a moment in time. You had to be there. It is not for now. The main thing I've got in my notes here is that you have to be there. American Pie should be left alone. Don't keep mentioning it in mainstream media, because I really don't want the kids ruining it or judging it for seeing beyond the straight white wall. These movies are very straight. They are very white. They cannot be changed. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. But these movies, they belong on the DVD shelves. You know,
yeah,
a movie that you can come back to with the boys when the beers are flowing, the memories are being relived. They need to be off streamers. They need to be kept away from modern audiences, because they just can't enjoy things. That's the big problem. And that is what this movie tries to do. And apparently what this American Pie reinvention is going to do. American Pie for the new age. There is no American Pie for the new age. They cannot handle this kind of, you know, straight gun movie of kids just wanting sex. Even though that is what they are in high school. That is why you're trying to be famous on TikTok. That is why you're trying to be famous on YouTube, so you can get laid. But as soon as that's in a movie, in any kind of way, it's like, oh my God, this is like so old. It's like what my dad used to do. It's like, fuck you, man. Yeah, it is what we used to do. It's what everyone used to do. The first American Pie came out in the 90s.
Everyone still does.
It's like sex drives the world. I know there's some people out there that, you know, it doesn't drive them, but I'd say it drives about 90% of the population.
Yeah.
You know, your life is actually more, like, you physically and mentally, you're more healthy if you have more sex. You know, it's like, it was never a bad thing, but because it was so straight and it was so white, that's why these people get angry. But I grew up in a very straight, very white school.
Yep.
And that's just the way it was. Yeah. Like, if you wanna call it how it is, maybe the world was just a little bit, maybe it was a little bit wrong. Maybe
a little more than a little bit.
More than a little bit. And you know, and the world is a little and the world is, you know, the world is stunted because of it. Because of the movies that were being put out. But, you know, it's your choice whether or not to watch them. You know, it's your mind. It's your control. It's your money. If you know this movie is going to trigger you, and I'm speaking directly to the annoying fuckers on TikTok, because it's not Gen Z anymore. We're like, I don't know what they've named this new generation, but it's this new...
They're called Gen Alpha or something.
Gen Alpha.
Like that.
These motherfuckers, man. They can't, like... They can't enjoy things for what they are, and that is their problem. And that's where American Pie was. It was before social media. That's what made American Pie 1 great. They couldn't just text each other. Even then, like the setup for the internet, that would blow the minds of Gen Alpha right now. The janky ass webcam, the dating website that Jim tries to join. Things had to be done, like, personally. Now everything's about, like, do you or do you not have Riz on fucking, like, an Omegle-style chat? how these videos are still coming out with Omegle now being gone. I don't know, but yeah. Like it's just bastions of a bygone era. I know I like to say that phrase a lot, but just back in the 90s, back in the 2000s, we had Blink, we had Jackass, pre YouTube, pre Snapchat. Mm-hmm. You had to live on what your friends were watching.
Yeah.
It was a good time. You had to be there. And I just think it was inevitable that an American Pie was going to come out and just like try to do something different and just like be too woke, be not enough American Pie, to the point where this movie should have just been called Girls Rules. Probably would have done better. The fact that this movie probably was rated 3.9 on IMDb was because there was an expectation of being an American Pie. And then there was also the critics' minds of, do we need more American Pies?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No.
Nah, man.
I mean, this is definitely one of those movies that after reunion, you're like, this is a good ending point. It's a good way to end both. You just the franchise as a whole, and like coming back to this again, it's my same argument with Book of Love. There's no heart, and that's the thing that I feel like a lot of these straight to DVD movies, they don't need it. You know, this is straight to streaming. It was on fucking Netflix and shit. You don't need the heart. You don't need to push some kind of story. Like at the end of the day, all this is the same story we've been seeing in all of them with different faces.
Yeah,
that's it. These are people who want to get laid, who are on the verge of getting out of high school and feeling like they need to have sex because that's part of what they, that's what they need to do.
American Pie Girls Rules is American Pie 1 with girls.
And that's pretty much it. And I literally remember nothing about this movie. The only positive thing from this movie that I think really stuck out was Lizzie Broadway as Stephanie Siffler. I thought she was great.
She's hilarious. In Gen V.
Which is why she's amazing in fucking Gen V.
Yeah.
And like literally every other aspect of this fucking movie, fucking gone. Yeah. I have no idea. But, Lizzie Broadway, fantastic. I'm glad she's in Gen V. She's absolutely killing it in Gen V. And if
I need to see her in more
things,
this
is one of the reasons that, like, honest to God, if this is one of the reasons that she was able to book Gen V, then that's the only positive that came out of this fucking movie. Because for me, I got no problem with a comedy around women. I fucking, Bridesmaids was amazing. Girls Trip, I think, is hilarious. Mm-hmm. So that's not the problem. The problem here is that this is a franchise that even though we love it, it's been dead and buried for a long time. This is just the exhumed carcass being wrung out for one more fucking thing.
Horrible.
And just missing every single bit. This is like the most basic understanding of what American Pie is thrown together. And like, oh, if we put women in the movie, people watch it. No. All you did was put women in a shit movie and effectively hurt the careers of all these girls.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You played yourself. And I think that's gonna do it.
Yeah,
I think that's gonna do it. Congratulations, American Pie. You played yourself.
Congratulations, you played yourself, you filthy animals.
All right, everyone, that's gonna do it for us. If you've seen these movies, let us know your thoughts. If you haven't seen these movies, Would you want to watch these movies? Let us know.
And if you didn't like them, good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to hear from you.
We don't want any negative Nancys. Nah.
Yeah.
But yeah, just remember to like, rate, subscribe, share us. And yeah, get next week we're doing our look back. That'll be fun. We'll have a couple brewskis and we'll see how that goes.
I'm looking forward to it.
I know for a fact it is not going to go well for me.
I was Transformers Rise of Beasts, Sebastian.
Bro, the trend for me with these episodes is that I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. So that'll be fun to get into. All right. That's it from us. Take it easy. We'll catch you next time.
Come join us on this trip. Now I'm like the throwing out the scripts.
Come on, man. Come join us on the trip. I'm sorry. Now we're throwing out the scripts. I hope we don't charge a penny. I hear the weekend's calling. Now it's time to start. Free ball.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.